May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 687. Ye broken hearts all, who cry out unclean, and taste of the gall of indwelling sin, lamenting it truly, and loathing it too, and seeking help duly, as sinners must do. The Lord whom ye seek is nigh to your call, attends when you speak, nor lets a word fall. Your sorrow and sighing are felt in his breast. He pities your crying and will give you rest. Hymn 687.
Thank you. sacred and holy Word of God, we shall read together for our instruction from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 40. Comfort ye, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand for ever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counsel hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, who instructed him, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh out the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, said the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? They bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. May God bless his holy word to us. May he teach us to pray. O thou most holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, in whom we live and move and have our being, with whose divine permission our lives have been spared to this evening hour, the evening hour of thy day, that time of the evening sacrifice, that hour when Elijah proved on Mount Carmel, thou art the God of gods, and thou didst put to flight the false gods of Baal, and didst demonstrate before that assembled congregation that thou art the God. Oh, we pray this evening hour thou wilt come down, and oh, there might be that fire from heaven to so set our hearts on fire this night, that we too may be able to say, the Lord, he is the God. And not just that, to be able to say, he is my God. What a privilege that would be for one another this evening. To be able to say of thee in that most blessed sense, that covenant sense, he is my God. Lord, we pray that thou would impart this rich blessing to us, and by thy gracious Spirit move in our souls and minds and hearts. Draw us, and we will run after thee. But our Lord, if thou dost not draw, we cannot come. We have no strength in ourselves, no ability in and of ourselves. We are totally dependent upon the drawings and the enablings of thy gracious Spirit. Come then, blessed Spirit, awake, O north wind, and come thou south, and blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat of his pleasant fruits. Oh, then may we know thy attention to this vineyard tonight. Look at the plants that the Heavenly Father hath planted, and oh, do some weeding work too, Lord, for we know within our hearts there is much that is wrong, much that needs removing. Ah, like that whip of small cords that cleansed the temple in thy day, Lord Jesus, we need it too. But ah, do come and rule, come and reign, come and take possession of our hearts, O Lord, and leave us not to any inferior one to rule and reign over us. Forgive our sins. Lord, this is a vast request, that thou dost hate sin. Thou art offended in thy holy person at the iniquities of sinners. That holy jealousy thou hast over thy law demands that sin be dealt with. And Lord, that we should come and ask for forgiveness. Or on what ground can we ask it? Not that we deserve it, And not that we can earn it, not that we can purchase it. It'll be on the ground of mercy alone, and Lord, it'll be on the ground of justice as well. But Lord, if thou couldst not forgive sin without giving justice its due, and we look to Calvary, where divine justice poured out upon the dear Lamb of God, the unmitigated wrath of offended justice. He bore it for a chosen race, and thus became their hiding place. We pray this evening, we may be fleeing as poor sinners to that refuge. Hide him beneath the blood and righteousness of our Lord Jesus, pleading his name. And give us that sweet smile, Lord, which bespeaks forgiveness. Lord, when the prodigal's father greeted his returning son, we don't read at first any word was spoken, but a kiss was imparted. Lord, what a precious thing there was in that. And if thou wouldst give a kiss of divine love to a poor sinner tonight, there would be forgiveness in it, pardon in it. Then, Lord, there'd be nothing between that sinner and thee, like good Hezekiah, whose sins were cast behind thy back. So that favoured sinner would know, I'm clean, just God, I'm clean. So do bless us tonight, that the word of thy truth may sanctify our hearts and leave an indelible mark, Lord, of grace, that will be our guide this coming week in our going out and coming in. There are many matters, Lord, to be attended to. There are mountains that will need to be levelled and valleys to be exalted, crooked things to be made straight, rough places to be made plain, fires to pass through, deep waters to wade through, darkness to endure. But, Lord, if thou art with us, then we need fear no evil. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. As each day passes, Lord, this coming week, may the mountains flow down as we come to them. And if we are spared to another Sabbath to look back upon the week, may we be able to say, the Lord stood by me. And we can look back and see those answers to prayer, and believe he who has helped us hitherto will help us all our journey through, and give us daily cause to rise, new Ebenezer to thy praise. Put thy constraining, restraining, upholding, overruling hand upon us. May we not be our own Lord, but do grant we may know thy will and do it. Do in thy tender mercy bless us this night. Bless the dear church and congregation that was planted here, those present, those absent. We bear them before thee. We pray that they may know much of thy pleasant presence within these walls, that as thy servants come and go and thy gospel is preached, may often the voice of the Son of God be heard. May there be that word fulfilled, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We pray, Lord, then they may have hearing ears, receiving hearts, and their souls may be moved by divine grace and touched by that indelible mark of the Holy Ghost. Bless young and old before thee. And do grant, Lord, there might be a quickening work in the hearts of the dead, the indifferent, the ignorant, the far off, those, Lord, who have no interest in the things of God. And where thou hast begun that good work of grace, Lord, do in thy tender mercy, make it to grow, to increase. And bless those who are walking in paths of disappointment, discouragement, unexpected crosses and losses have come. And what a need be there is to be still and know that thou art God. To sit still and believe that these things do not come by chance, that thou hast a purpose in them yet for good, that the bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet there will be the flower. It will be, Lord, if thou dost sanctify it, that we might not come out of our troubles as we go into them. But may, O Lord, we be better for the refining fire, and come out, Lord, with a faith strengthened in Christ, our anchor even more firmly placed. Bless any who need divine direction, who are waiting to hear that word behind them, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Bless those who are burdened over the souls of loved ones and long to see that change that only grace can make. Oh Lord, where we feel so impotent and so helpless, thou hast that blessed ability to do what cannot be done by any other. Ah, thine almighty outstretched arm. Stretch out thine arm, victorious King, we pray. Show thyself that one who is able to save to the uttermost and plucks brands from the burning and brings in those other sheep whom thou hast determined to save. Bless any, Lord, who may be severely harassed by the evil one, severely tempted perhaps even to give up and to go back and walk no more with thee and thy people. Perhaps, Lord, the burdens are heavy and natural reason and the carnal mind is so strong in its arguments. They feel to have no answer to either those arguments or the devil himself and feel that it is pointless and useless continuing as they are. Oh, Lord, come to their aid. Come by thy blessed Spirit. Give them a sweet touch tonight. They may know there is a God. And there's a God in heaven who hears and answers prayer. One who's not unattentive to their need and to their want. One, Lord, who knows the way that they take. And oh, who can banish the evil one in a moment and cause thy work to appear. Lord, do this, we pray. Gather others in to hear the word of God within these walls. Other sheep for whom thou hast died. Bless the dear servants of God thou dost send. And do raise an under-shepherd for them, could it please thee, who will be in thy hand a mighty instrument for the furtherance of the gospel within these walls. But Lord, time is hastening on. Eternity is near. We need to be made ready. None of us know how many more sermons we will either hear or preach. Oh, we pray that we may be ready. We may be those, Lord, who have oil in their lamps, whatever the hour of our departure may be. If our hope on Christ is stayed, let him come when he thinks best. Let, O my soul, be not dismayed. Lean upon his loving breast. He will cheer thee with the smilings of his face. So be with us now, Lord. We've nothing of our own. We are totally dependent upon thee, preaching and hearing. Come, gracious Spirit, come down into our hearts with a sweet breath of divine life. Help one to speak and others to hear. And let the voice of the Lord God be heard. Cause thy glorious voice to be heard, Lord. And if thou dost cause it to be heard, it will be heard. And even though there be that hindrance that the Satan may put in the way, that will be removed. Ah, what a mercy. The deaf shall hear the voice of the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Lord, do it, we pray. Wash us, cleanse us, bless us, keep us. We thank thee for thy mercies. Bless all who are gathering in thy holy name as we are this night, our own little flock, and thy dear servant. Bless him and bless them. And bless all who stand in thy holy name this night to preach a precious Christ. And those who are preparing for that work, we pray that thou would indeed bring forth that day when they are indeed manifest as thy servants. Remember us now. Pardon our sins. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
In number 376. Lord, I cannot let thee go till a blessing thou bestow. Do not turn away thy face. Mine's an urgent, pressing case. Hymn 376.
Seeking the Lord's help and your very prayerful attention, I will direct your thoughts this evening to the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. The Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Philippians 4, verses 19 and 20. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. When God's servant the Apostle Paul took up his pen to write to the church at Philippi, you must remember he was writing as God's mouthpiece. He was under the direct personal influence of the Holy Ghost. So what he wrote to this church was not just his own mind in the matter, but it was the mind of the Spirit concerning that church and its needs. But Paul himself, of course, was not just, as it were, a mechanical dictator of God's word. He himself had tasted, handled, and felt of those precious truths that he was setting before the church. And in Philippi's case, it is very interesting and instructive to notice how the Lord brought him to Philippi. We read in our reading this evening of those words concerning Jacob, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God?" Well, to get to Philippi, Paul passed that very way. There were two places he thought he could be very useful as God's servant. One was Asia, and we read the Holy Ghost forbade him. What a strong word. Friend, if the Holy Ghost forbids you, you must sit still, you must be still. You can't resist God. He then thought Bithynia might be a good place to go, but the Spirit suffered him not. He wasn't given permission. He wasn't given authority. And he daren't go without the Lord's permission. And he daren't go without the Lord's authority. What was the man to do? What you and I are to do when the Lord shuts doors? Stand still. Don't kick. Don't fret. Don't argue, don't debate. Be silent, O all flesh, for the Lord is risen up out of his holy temple. He will appear in due season. And so it was with the Apostle Paul. Those two doors shut firmly, barred and bolted by the Holy Ghost. What was he to do? Well, no doubt he was waiting upon the Lord to know what the Lord would have him do. And he had that remarkable vision. A man of Macedonia saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Immediately knew this was a door the Lord had opened. He could go through that door with a blessed confidence. First of all, it was not a door of his choosing, but the Lord's. Secondly, it was a door the Lord would help him in passing through it. And a door he would be able to, by God's grace, honour God in preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to Philippi. He did not know what trials lay through that door. When the Lord opens a door for you, dear friends, at first you may think it's going to be a smooth, easy path. But it may be not long before you find it's not what you expect. For God's ways are not our ways, neither his thoughts our thoughts. It began very peacefully. Those few women by the riverside to whom he was sent to preach, and the success given to him in Lydia and her household being called by grace, and the church begun at Philippi. And then the devil gets busy. One good man said, whenever the Lord builds a temple, the devil will build a synagogue next door. And Paul proved it. And before long, we find him not by the calm waters of the river. We find him in a dungeon, midnight, his back scourged and bleeding, and his fellow labourer Silas with him. And what did we read? At midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises unto God. Friends, they had family worship in those most incongenial circumstances. Would you have had so? Oh, what a question. And we read, the prisoners heard them, and the Lord heard, and a great earthquake followed, and we know more additions to the church at Philippi, but it wasn't in the way that Paul expected. But now, years later, he writes back to this church with fond memories of what the Lord had done for them and how he'd been used of God among them. And he writes to encourage them, especially in this way, that they had been very liberal in giving to others. They'd gone the second mile in giving to the need and the help of those less able than themselves. And now Paul says, here's a principle for you to remember. And remember it this week, dear friends. God will never be in your debt. Child of God, you'll be in his debt to all eternity. That debt of mercy you'll never repay. But remember, God will never be in your debt. Never. No. And Paul said, though they'd extended themselves beyond measure on behalf of others, the Lord gave them good interest. And this is the interest he gave them. And child of God, is the interest he gives to his dear people as they take up their cross and follow him, as they go through the doors that he ordains for them. Here is a principle upon which a child of God may lean as enabled by the Holy Ghost. But whatever the need, but whatever the place, but whatever the circumstances, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I want with God's help to bring before you four things this evening. First of all, this very precious expression, my God. How lovingly Paul speaks of his God. How affectionately he speaks of his Creator, his Redeemer. My God, my Father, blissful name. Secondly, your need. What a vast subject that is. Your need. Providence, grace, body, soul, time, eternity, life, death, family, business, your tomorrow, your next week, your need, child of God. Thirdly, his riches, the bank balance God has in store for his dear people. Something the world cannot touch, the devil cannot touch. By his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And the fourth thing, and don't stumble at what I'm going to say, but I will put it in context when we come to it, God willing, our duty. So whatever do you mean? I mean just this, dear friends, that if God has supplied your need, it's a loving duty as enabled by the Holy Ghost to put the crown where it belongs. Now unto God and our Father be glory for ever and ever. That's putting the crown where it belongs. And you know, you go into the book of the Revelation, chapter 19, you read these words. On his head were many crowns. That's the head of King Jesus. We may refer to that again, a little later, God willing. But listen, this is one of the crowns he wears when his dear people have a need supplied. When they go back to their God and thank him, praise him for some deliverance, some answer to prayer, some door opened. Yes, some cross sanctified. Now, unto God and our Father be glory for ever and ever. Of course, the last word, amen, is not superfluous. It's a very blessed word. Amen when God says it shall be done. Amen when you and I say it in living faith. Lord, let it be so. So with God's help, may we just come to these four points. And may the Lord open it up to our understanding. Especially one poor sinner here tonight who come into that place, I'm poor and needy. The two have come together. You know, people may be poor and yet not needy. They may be used to living in poverty. There's some places in this world where people live like that. They've known nothing else. And because they know nothing else, they're quite content to live as they do. So they're poor, but you say not in one sense, not needy. Others may be needy, but have all the resources they have at hand to supply that need, so you cannot say they are poor. But dear friends, when those two things come together, poverty and need, then you're in a great strait. Then you need our text. Is there one here tonight in that place? Poverty in your pathway stares you in the face in some way, and you've not got the resources to meet it. Here is the word for God's dear people in those great straits. But, however great your poverty, but however great your need, child of God, my God shall supply it, shall attend to it, shall come to it. Paul, how are you so sure? Why do you speak so boldly? Why are you so confident? I'll tell you why, dear friends. First of all, he knew the Holy Ghost was guiding his pen. God that cannot lie. That one in whom it's impossible for God to lie. Secondly, it proved it. He could remember the way the Lord did supply his needs when he went to Philippi. And even in that prison cell with his back bleeding, in the dungeon, in the darkness of the midnight hour, how the Lord arose for his help. Oh, says Paul, if he came to my aid, why not you? If he came to my assistance, why not you? My God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So first of all, this expression, my God. What does Paul mean? In one sense, of course, God is the God of every one of us in this house of prayer, in Swavesey, in England, in the United Kingdom, throughout the whole world, all that's ever been born since Adam's time to this and to the end of time. Are the subjects of the Creator. They're accountable to him, answerable to him, and in that great day, the whole of Adam's race will stand before him. You will be there, I will be there. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But my dear friends, that relationship you have as a creature with your Creator, though it's distinct from any other part of God's creative works, because you have a soul given by God for that divine purpose to worship him in, yet that relationship in and of itself is not saving. You need something more than that. Or you need a covenant relationship. You need to be bound up in that covenant, ordered all things and sure. You need to be part of that blessed number given by the Father to the Son to redeem, for whom he laid down his lovely life. He said, how will I know whether this is my precious privilege? Well, is the point you long to know, isn't it? If the Holy Ghost has been sent into your heart with quickening breath, if he's taught you to feel your sinnership, if he's laid you low at the feet of this great God in confession, if he's brought you to the foot of the cross there to plead for mercy through the blood of Christ, and in some little measure raise up a hope, a good hope through grace in what Christ has done for poor sinners, then you're not without hope that this God is your God. Again, you may put it another way. We have in Psalm 34 that word, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And there's a word for venturers. Those who perhaps tonight cannot say with the confidence they would like to be that he's their God, and yet they've got a need. They've got a pressing need, an urgent pressing case. You've been singing of it. Venture on him. Take that need to him. Prove me now herewith, says the good prophet. Yes, and see what God will do for venturing sinners. I like the case of mercy in the Pilgrim's Progress, that very able book, that compendium of religious experience in the best sense. Remember how she ventured out with Christiana, that's Christian's wife, in the second part of that noble book. Christiana had a direct call, a direct message from King of Kings to set out. Mercy's beginnings weren't so clear. All she knew was this. She had a love for Christiana, and she had a desire to be numbered among the people Christiana was going to be numbered with. And on that ground she ventured. But they came to a certain place where Christiana was admitted with her family, and Mercy was left outside the door. Could she go back? Dare she go back? No. She gave a timid knock at the door, but there was no answer. And she knocked again, and still there was no answer. And then with all the might and the main she had, she knocked. It looked as if the door would fall in. And it opened, and the porter drew her in. Come in, thou blessed the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? And she said to Christiana, whatever did he say when I knocked so loud? A sweet smile crossed his face. The Lord loves venturing sinners. He loves those who have got nothing to plead in, not themselves. Yet they have a need which only he can supply. And on that ground they come. Lord, I'm a sinner in great need. I'm a man, a woman, a boy or a girl with a great want. I've nowhere else to go with it. I'm driven to thee. My God. And when the Lord hears and answers that prayer, you have your own personal witness. He's your God. Just as Ruth did in the gleaning field of Boaz. Remember how Boaz spoke so kindly to her. She had ventured that memorable day. And the Lord, through Boaz, told her she'd come to shelter under the wings of the Lord God of Israel. My God. There's a union here that death itself cannot break. There is a bond here which is flowing from sovereign grace or sin abounding. Here the eternal purposes of God toward this poor sinner are being brought into blessed evidence. My God, my God, my God to pray to, my God to confess to, my God to lay my case at his feet to, my God, to unburden my innermost soul to. My God. But my God shall supply all your need. Of course, this great God is the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Think of those words concerning the dear Father. Your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him. Your Father knoweth you have need of all these things. Think of those blessed words in Psalm 103. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are but dust. He's not an unfeeling father. He's not a cold, indifferent father. He cannot look indifferently on your need. I feel at my heart or your sighs and your groans, he says. Hear what God the Saviour says, the dear Saviour says about this great matter. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. Listen to him again. I ascend unto my God and your God, my Father and your Father. Hear again what he has to say. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. My God. And then, oh, that dear Holy Spirit, the very breath of life in the heart of a believer. And when, dear friends, he withholds his power, then we cannot say, my God, as we would like to. When we're dead and cold and hard and indifferent and far off, cannot see our way, how this word seems to stumble us. The devil says, where is thy God? Where is he? That's what Jacob said in what we read. My way is hid from the Lord. My judgment is passed over from my God. Was it? No. But God's people often feel like it. Especially when they cannot understand God's dealings. The matters fall out not as they have planned or expected. Still to say, my God, is a great act of faith then. God-given faith. But he is still his people's God. In darkness or distress, his love's the same to thee. Without declension, more or less, immutable and free. However dark you may be tonight, dear friends, he hasn't changed his mind. However low you may be in your spirit, he has not abdicated his throne. And do remember the dear Saviour himself, and To explain it would be beyond human words, but we do have the utterance of the Saviour on the cross to remind us that He understands His dear people in their darkest path. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And if God gave the grace, many a sermon could be preached in answering that question. But one of the reasons is that He might sympathise in His infinite compassion with those who find it hard to say, My God. Understand me aright. For in those solemn hours on the cross, the comforts of His sonship were withheld. He was still the Son of God. He still had His dear Father, but all the comforts of it were withheld as He drank the very wrath of God, endured the pangs of hell, for hell is a comfortless place. Yes, but now this dear Jesus says, comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfort to Jerusalem and cry unto her. Her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned. She received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. My God. Well, here's the first thing. How many of you tonight have God-given reason to say it? But my God. This is personal. You can't share it. Maybe your father's God, but is it yours? Maybe the God of your husband or your wife, but is it yours? That's the great point. It's personal. But my God shall supply all your need. The next point then is your need. And if the relationship is a divinely ordained relationship, and it is, otherwise it would never come into being, it's a divinely ordained need as well. Or you say, how can that be? My greatest need is my sinnership. My wretched heart, my carnal mind, my natural man. My greatest need is the assault of the evil one and this dying world I'm living in. This is my greatest need. How can that be ordained by God? Listen, dear friends, if He's opened your eyes to see that need, isn't that sovereign grace or sin abounding? There was a time when you were careless and indifferent to this great need that you have, but now your eyes are open to see it, and they've been divinely opened and divinely ordained to see it. It's a solemn sight as well, but He who's shown you your need will supply it. Your need. Your need of a robe of righteousness to cover your sin-spotted, sin-forfeited life. Your need of the blood of atonement to answer for all the debt that your sins have accrued against the divine justice. Your need of grace to subdue your wretched sins and keep them in their proper place under your feet. Your need of patience. Your need of wisdom. Your need of submission. Your need of resignation. Your need of love, your need of faith, your need of repentance, your need of hope, all summed up, your need of Christ, all your need. And in providence too. Friend, God never puts His people in the path of providence without ensuring you'll supply their need in it. If He's opened the door for you, and if He's brought you through that door, you can be sure in one way or another, your need will be supplied. You may come to the end of everything. All created streams may dry up, but not Him. When all created streams are dried, Thy fullness is the same. May I with this be satisfied and glory in Thy name. Your need will be supplied, child of God. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, that's all His dear children, how much more shall He with Him also freely give us all things? But notice the little words, with Him. Friends, so-called blessings without Him aren't blessings. You might be the wealthiest man in Swavesey, but dear friends, if that wealth is without Christ sanctifying, it's a curse to you. You might be the healthiest person in this house of prayer, one of those strong men we read of. And yet, if Christ be not with you in it, dear friends, that itself could be a curse too. We want blessings that come with Christ. That's what we want. your relationships, husband, wife, brother, sister, father, mother, brethren and sisters in the church of Christ, with Christ. That's what you want. For without him, oh, how different it is. Your need. Now, I may not have mentioned your need tonight. Perhaps your need is your dying bed. It's impressing itself more and more upon your spirit this evening hour. How will it be in that awesome day? Well, this text covers it. It covers time and eternity. Your need. So whatever it may be, if it's providence, remember the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. If it's grace, I hope it is grace. Oh, I would rejoice to know that your heart is longing for grace. Remember that beautiful word in James chapter 4, I believe it is. And he begins with a long catalogue of sin, adultery, murder, strife, envy, bitterness. And when he gets to the end of his catalogue, then he says this, but, another but, you see, but he giveth more grace. And that's your need tonight, more grace. I think it was Michael Faraday, the Victorian physicist. I believe I'm right in saying the Queen wanted to recognise the service he had done to the nation in his inventions. And she wrote to him and asked what he wanted most. And I believe he wrote back with two words, more grace. Now, she couldn't give more grace, but if that was true concerning that man, he certainly knew something of the teaching of the Holy Spirit. More grace. That's what we need. And he will give more. He will give more. And, dear friends, he won't neglect to give what he sees that you need. Your need. So what is your need this coming week? Already you've been weighing it up, wondering how matters are going to fall out. Perhaps already you're dreading a certain day. Lord, how is it going to be? In that hour, it shall be given thee. Your need. The next thing we have is, I say this reverently, the bank balance that God has set aside for his dear people. His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. They're in glory. In other words, the devil can't touch them. The world can't touch them. Man cannot touch them. They're in God's hand to give sovereignly as he sees fit to his dear people. Riches in glory. What riches are there in glory? First of all, the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ there in his holy humanity is a wonderful thing, you know. It's not just as the Son of God, he is there. Oh, he was there from all eternity, rightfully so. But now, there is a man, a real man at the right hand of the dear Father this evening hour, one clothed in a body like our own, the dear Son of God. Adoring saints around him stand, and thrones and powers before him fall. The God shines gracious through the man and sheds sweet glories on them all. And it's through this glorious man, Jesus, Emmanuel, the riches flow down to the church. Every grace and every favour come to us through his precious blood. And the wounds he still bears visibly in glory above this evening hour are the channel through which the mercies come. Yes, 'twas Jesus, my friend, when he hung on the tree, who opened the channel of mercy for me, says the good hymn writer. Oh, that's rich mercy that comes with the blood of Jesus. Mercy to soften your heart. Mercy to melt your spirit. Mercy to cleanse your guilty conscience. Mercy to bring you near to the foot of the cross. Mercy to give you the mind of Christ. Mercy to give you submission under his will, not to kick against his rod, not to fret in the fires, but to be still and know that I am God. These are some of the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And there are exceeding great and precious promises as well laid up for his people there. Now you can't snatch them and steal them, don't mistake me. No, you need them to be imparted by the Blessed Spirit, but are stored up for God's dear people in the day of their need. And so he comes perhaps with a word like this, when you really are at beam end, as we sometimes say, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness, his riches. And when God gives a promise, dear friend, his honour and his name is at stake to fulfil it. Sooner or later shall change than one of God's promises fail. On the strength of God's promise that the ravens would feed Elijah, he goes to Cherith. On the strength of the widow woman would sustain him, he goes to Zarephath. He believed God was true to his word, and he is. Oh, his riches never dry up, never. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Whate'er I need in Jesus dwells, and there it dwells for me. And such as cannot help themselves, but flee for help to him. His riches in glory. They're not tarnished by time. They don't rust. They don't wear out. No, blessed be God, they're as new as he whose riches they are. His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus, the name that sinners love. Christ, the anointed one of God to deal with sinners' cases. Now, what is your need tonight, dear friend, then? What's pressed your heart this day? What's made you sigh, cry, groan inwardly, perhaps outwardly? Oh, when wilt thou come unto me, Lord? When wilt thou bid this darkness flee? When will you hear that prayer? Bring my soul out of prison, I may praise thy name. All such sighs and groans and tears. He feels in his heart all thy groans, sighs and thy tears. Thou art most near me, he says. All thy affliction, thy head feels the pain. All are most needful, not one is in vain. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And you may go through the word of God and see many cases of it. I'll give you just one case. The Lord Jesus Christ borrows Peter's boat for a pulpit. Mind you, the Lord had a right to that boat. It was his, you know, before it was Peter's. It only lent to Peter. And your wealth is only lent to you by the God of our text. It really belongs to him, and you're answerable to him how you use it. If the Lord has need of your boat, dear friend, he has a right to take it. Remember that. He had a right to say to Peter, I need your boat as a pulpit. And Peter submitted. And a wonderful sermon was preached from that boat to that assembled congregation on the shores of Lake Galilee. When our Lord said the Amen, he says to Peter, now, launch out of the deep, Peter. Let down your nets, plural, notice that, for a draught. Oh, says Peter, Lord, you don't understand fishing, Lord. That's what he was really saying. We've been toiling all night. We've let down our net again and again. Nothing but weeds we brought up. We're like Elijah's servant going up Mount Carmel. There is nothing. Lord, is there any point letting down the nets? But at thy word, I will let down one net. We'll see what happens. And he let down the net, and so great was the number of fishes that came from north, south, east, and west across that lake into Peter's net, till the fish, it was so heavy, it began to sink the boat. Ah, says Peter, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. I'm not worthy of such blessing. The point I want to make is the Lord wasn't in Peter's debt. And if he calls you, as it were, to take your boat for his name's sake, you can be sure he won't be in your debt. He who said concerning that foal and that ass that belonged to a man in Jerusalem, the Lord hath need of him. And the man let him go straight away. And do you think that man suffered for it? Most certainly not. No. You say, but I'm a poor thing. How can I walk in a path like that? Think of the widow woman with two mites. The smallest coin of the realm. It's all she had. The Lord knew she, that's all she had as well. She put it into the treasury, in the collection box. The Lord, she put more in than all those rich men casting in their gifts so ostentatiously. She's given all that she had, and the Lord knew it. And do you think she suffered? No. No. Whatever you do for Christ's sake, when you're moved by the love of Christ, you don't do it for reward. You don't do it to be repaid. But I can tell you, dear friend, from my own little experience, God gives better interest than this any worldly bank could ever give. Yes, you'll never lose by giving to God's cause, whatever you may call it to be, whether it's financial or whether it's your energies, your talents. If he calls you by his grace and by his sovereign power into such a path, you can be sure you'll lack nothing that you need. Blessed be his holy and sacred name. It's a truth some of us have proved. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, says the Apostle Paul, what is our duty then? If indeed the Lord has done this, if he's supplied our needs, if we've had access to this blessed fountain that flows through the wounds of Jesus, what are we to do? Now, says Paul, unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. In other words, put the crown where it belongs. We're so slow to do this. We're so taken up sometimes with the need and with its supply that when we've been wonderfully helped, we very quickly forget who is the giver. And that's really why sometimes the Lord makes us wait for our blessings, that we might value them more. You know, in a bygone age, the days of John Kershaw and John Warburton, the next meal was indeed an exercise, literally so. When the Lord provided it, they knew where it came from, and they thanked the Lord as well. But you and I have got no problem about tomorrow's breakfast, have you? It's ready waiting for you in your cupboard. You see, and we take it for granted. There may come a day when it's not so accessible. If the Lord poured judgment on this nation as we deserve, we could come to just such a day again, when you wouldn't know where the next meal was coming from. And when it does come, you'll know to thank God for it. I know what I'm talking about, just in a very little way. In my early married life, the interest rate was very high, about 20%. So the mortgage we were paying was horrendous, taking a very large part of my monthly salary. And there came one five-week month. You know what that's like? And that last week of that month, we got right to the end of everything. We didn't tell anybody about it. But we got to the weekend before we'd be paid on the next Monday when the new month began. And we had nothing. And my dear wife, who's got more faith than me, said, we've got to pray about this. So in our little way, we just bowed our head before the Lord and said, Lord, we've got a great need. We literally don't know where to look. We don't want to go begging in a wrong way. But thou knowest. And we left the matter with the Lord. Within an hour, a box of food appeared on our doorstep. Where it came from, we had no idea at first. And it supplied our needs for the next 3 or 4 days until bank check came and on we could go. We found out later where it did come from. It was one of the ravens the Lord sends. But the point is, dear friend, he does hear the cry of the needy. He will regard the prayer of the destitute. He will not despise their prayer. And in this day in which we're living, when we have so much, we take for granted. It would do us good sometimes to be poor and needy together. Come to that crisis point. We've nowhere to look but our God, and then prove he's a faithful prayer hearing, prayer answering God. Didst thou not hear and answer prayer? That were a grief I could not bear. But a prayer hearing, answering God supports me under every load. And that's your need tonight, that cross he's given, that thorn you're having to live with, that fire you're passing through. This is your need. But my God shall supply all your need. Through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie. My grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume. and thy gold to refine. Friends, don't look on in envy with those who have no sense of our text, who can go on through life, as it were, ignorant of their God and what he does for poor sinners. Be thankful the Lord's put you in this path of need. You prove him in it. He suffered his people to hunger. Why? That they might know where their bread came from, where their needs were supplied from. So I leave with this word tonight, dear friends. Here is God's word for one of you tonight. We may be faced with such a need, such a pathway before you. Lord, how will it be? Here it is. But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. To unto God and our Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Yes, Lord, let it be so. Let it be so. And the Lord says, child of God, this evening hour, seeing your need, it shall be so. My honour and my name is at stake. He cannot let you starve. And bless his holy name for it, though we deserve to be left. He hath said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. We'll not fear what man shall do unto me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £685, and the collections yesterday for Oakington Chapel Building Repair Fund, £2,075, for both of which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pack will preach on Tuesday evening if he is able. Friends, his voice is weak, his throat is very poorly. May we be helped to pray for him that he may be able to come. And God willing, Mr. Burgess will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon. And next Lord's Day, we hope to hold collections for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association. They're in urgent, pressing need of funds to upgrade the school at the Fizzy Orphanage, where they must start work by January, and need just over £20,000. And more details of this cause are on the notice board. Let us close with hymn 321. My soul, Lord, inflame with zeal from above, thy praise to proclaim and sing of thy love, to lift up my voice in thanksgiving sincere, this truth to rejoice in, the Lord will appear. Hymn 321.
cover with a mantle of thy forgiving love, O Lord, all that thy pure, holy, heart-searching eyes have seen amiss in our worship this day. Take us now on our way in peace, in safety, in journeys long or short. In that greater journey of life, fulfill that promise, Lord. Supply our every need in providence and in grace. And may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the Holy Spirit's favour rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.